Hello, what's your name and where are you from?
Hello, I'm Katrina Burness and I work for RNIB Scotland as their Parliamentary and Policy Manager.
So now we are here to talk voting, the big important topic of making sure everyone has an equal right to vote. So what we want to talk about is, first of all, the current voting process and how can blind and partially sighted people vote currently if they want to go into a polling station? How does the process currently work?
Okay, what we have is ballot papers. So the ballot papers are set by election law. They've got to be of a particular spacing and so on. So the ballot paper and voting, using a ballot paper, a pencil, that's been pretty much how it's been since the 1860s, 1870s. The system has not changed a great deal. We use pen and paper to cast our pencil and paper to cast our votes and put it into a box. So within that, for blind and partially sighted people, there are challenges. And the challenges are, you've got to know who's on the ballot paper, and you've got to know where they are on the ballot paper, and then you've got to be able to be confident that you're putting your mark into the right box so that you're voting for who you intend to. And since 1872, we're supposed to have the right to a secret ballot for our vote to be confidential. But for blind and partially sighted people, that's difficult. For most blind and partially sighted people, unless you've got some useful sight, you're going to be dependent on getting some help from someone else to cast your vote.
Now, you do have currently a tactile voting device. How does it simplify the process, or does it simplify the voting process from what it is originally?
If we had absolutely nothing, we would literally have a ballot paper, and Hubert, if I was just to hold it up in front of you, I'm not sure how much sight you've got, but would that be of any use to you at all?
No, not at all.
Not at all. It would be. There's a game that you play where you have got an animal tail, and you're blindfolded, and you're supposed to pin the tail on the animal and get it into the right place. So voting, if you didn't have something like the tactile voting device or another potential solution, would make it very hard for a blind or partially sighted voter to know where to put their voting mark on the paper.
So at the moment, the tactile voting device makes the process a little bit easier. However, would you say, you know, it's still not as accessible as it should be for a blind and partially sighted person to have an equal right to an accessible vote on a secret ballot?
I would say it helps, but not enough, and it has been found to be inaccessible in court of law. But the way in which it works depends on it being accurately aligned over the ballot paper. What it is, it's a plastic template, and it's got flaps, and the flaps are supposed to be lined up so that they're over the voting box where you put your vote, and so that as a voter you can push back the flap and expose the voting box so that you can put your mark into it. If it's even slightly squint, you end up with a situation where you could expose more than one box. And that would mean that you wouldn't know where to put your vote. Or if you put your vote, it might not be admissible because it might be between two boxes. Blind and partially sighted voters are dependent on the polling staff aligning the tactile voting device properly over the ballot paper, because it has to be lined up for it to work effectively. It has to stay in position when it's affixed by the returning officer and taken to the polling booth. In some elections, there's a lot of candidates. You know, for example, at the Scottish Parliament elections in 2021, there was more than 15 candidates in every single regional list in Scotland. So returning officers had to order extra long tactile voting devices to fit those ballot papers. And if you think about the actual amount of space that you've got in a voting booth, if, for instance, you had 22 candidates on the regional list, as there was around about 22 candidates in both Glasgow and Edinburgh, you could easily knock the tactile voting device off kilter in trying to get it get it into position in the polling booth.
So the what this now is working on an accessible solution to try and make this process better. So what can you tell me about the work you're doing to come up with a possible solution to make the process a bit more accessible?
We're happy to talk about all kinds of solutions, although we know perfectly well that governments are not necessarily happy to talk about all kinds of solutions. That, for example, we know that blind and partially sighted people are very interested in the possibility of voting by telephone and also very interested in the possibility of voting online. There's security concerns around those methods of voting. They're not likely to be under development in the UK anytime soon. So what we are trying to do is look at the elements of voting. To be able to vote with confidence or in confidence, you need to know the order of candidates on the ballot paper, and you need to know where your preferred candidate is in the ballot paper so that you can find it. So if we want to give people independence in voting, there has to be an audio solution and there has to be some form of tactile solution, whether it's using the tactile voting device or perhaps an embossed ballot paper of some kind to find where best to place your voting mark.
The solutions you are investigating and currently looking at, I mean, there might not be a guaranteed timescale because it all depends to development, but if you could possibly look at roughly when some new solutions could be available, is there an idea of time that we could be looking at?
We're in 2023. The next Scottish Parliament elections are due in May 2026. Between now and then, I would like to see a live trial of a new accessible voting system. What we do have at the moment is some encouraging developments. An encouraging development, and I stress it's a development, is a tactile voting paper which may assist people with sight loss to find the boxes on the ballot paper and to cast their vote effectively. To get to introducing new systems, it's necessary to have tests so that it's tested very thoroughly. It's tested with different kinds of voters as well. We're obviously pushing for blind and partially sighted voters to be able to vote in an accessible way, for the Scottish Government to make changes to how votes are cast for Scottish elections, which they've got the legislative authority to do. They have to do tests, including deaf voters, including voters with other conditions that may affect their capacity to vote, and sighted voters. So there's a wide range of tests that would be carried out on any new solution. But we do hope that we could see a live trial, which would probably be at some kind of by-election, perhaps a council by-election, between now and 2026, the next Scottish Parliament elections, to try to take accessible voting us further forward towards accessible voting.
Katrina from the RNIB, thank you very much for filling us in and talking to us about the future, or the hopeful future, of more accessible voting for blind and partially sighted people here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you so much, Hubert.
Thank you.